I'm joined in studio by Jimmy Norman from Avine's Pink Tie Charity. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us this morning. We're talking about the Late Late. You're laughing along there at some of the things I mentioned. You were watching it?
I was watching it. It was actually brilliant. It was a you know, it was a credit to everybody involved in last night. And as you said, Susan, like the focus on the children and not so much on the toys. But I don't know, many times I actually cried watching that last night. I was every one of them, the young lad, his granny was brilliant. And of course, you know, he'll get Sophie, like, you know, and you know, alluding to our brother, you know.
Yeah, and it's so tough for other children when that's the case and our mum and dad are in there all the time. And obviously that has a huge impact on her. And I'm sure there's so much worry involved in that and for such a small little girl. But we want to talk today about Avine's Lighthouse Project. It is being launched in Dublin today. It's a service for families with a child who has cancer. Jimmy, tell us a little bit about what the house will do.
First, thank you very much, Susan, for giving me the opportunity. Avine's Lighthouse is a project that's been a dream for Avine's Pink Toy for over 10 years. From my own personal experiences on St. John's Ward and in the hospital with my little girl, Avine, I noticed that, you know, for people travelling from the country, from travelling, you know, all over Ireland, you know, families from other parts of the world, you know, the accommodation problem, I know it's really in the news at the moment, but even back then it was a huge problem because when a family gets sick, you know, when a child gets cancer, the whole family gets cancer because either mom's going to have to give up work, dad's going to have to give up work, you're living in Donegal, you could be a single parent. You know, then all of a sudden you're put into a nightmare situation of having no accommodation in Dublin, and it's just a nightmare. So it was a dream for Avine's Pink Toy to always get a house, and over the last couple of years we had the opportunity through massive fundraising efforts to actually go and follow the dream.
So it's opening, you're launching it today. So how will it work then for people who might need to use it, and what will the service be like for them?
It's opening today, which is, you know,
hard to believe. I still kind of,
you know, and you know, it'd be impossible to thank nearly everybody, but my great friend and co-founder of Avine's Pink Toy, Mick Rochford, has done an absolutely incredible job, you know, looking after the project. So the house opens today, and it's called Avine's Lighthouse. I think it's like self-explanatory, you know, in that, you know, it's guiding people that are in trouble back to a safe haven. It's a three bedroom house. It's a 1950s house. It was basically stripped from the top to the bottom. We took the roof off. They stripped it right down. Took all the plaster off the walls. It's brought back up to an unbelievably high standard. Three bedrooms on the first floor. We converted the attic. We brought the attic room back up, and that's going to be an autistic room. It's going to be a sensory room for it, because children with cancer, they cross all of the peripheries.
Absolutely, yeah.
On the ground floor, as you go through the front door, there's a living room, and just behind the living room, there's a ground floor bedroom. There's a kitchen, and then there's a wheelchair accessible bathroom and shower area on the ground floor. And that's because if a child has cancer and they're in a wheelchair, and they obviously can't get up the stairs, you can actually live on the ground floor. The child and mammy or daddy can live on the
Absolutely,
ground floor.
Yeah.
The siblings then can use the rest of the house, you know.
And the plan is that one family would go in there at a time, and that was important for you.
I think that's a huge point about for me, and talking to the rest of the team with Linda O'Connell and all of Linda's there, ground worker. She does all the hard work in the hospital. She's the one on the ground that knows the families. And the thing that really got me was that the one thing that really gets you hard in the hospital is lack of privacy. Yeah, there's a huge lack of privacy. So when you go into the hospital, or when you go into the house, you're on your own. Mm. You shut the door, it's yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going through so much. Having that little bit of space to have a chat, to work through things can be vital, I guess, when you're in that space. Jimmy, remind us, lots of people will be familiar with your story from Avine's Pink Tie. It's a very, very well-known charity, and an awful lot of fundraising efforts go into it. You guys do incredible work. But for people who aren't familiar with the story, just remind us of Avine's story.
Our little darling, Avine, was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer, adrenal cortical carcinoma. She was diagnosed with on the 22nd of January 2009. Sadly, Avine passed away a year later. She went through an amazing battle. They had to actually remove a tumour. That was it was a 2.5 kilo tumour, and I always said it was as big as a baby she'd never have. But during that time on St. John's Ward, I noticed, you know, I noticed that the hardship that was on the ward for all of the parents, and that was where the seed of Avian's Pink Toy was born. And myself and Mick, when Avian passed away, we went then to start up a practical support organisation that would help children with fighting cancer and their families.
So it's 10 years now since Avian died, which is really hard to believe. And I suppose for you to be launching Avian's Lighthouse project today, when it's 10 years on, it must feel like a very special moment in time, I guess.
Well, I was talking to you about it a little bit earlier on. Avian would have been 18 this year. And so, you know, we always said that, you know, I couldn't get her to her Debs, I couldn't buy her a Debs dress, couldn't buy her, you know, couldn't celebrate her 18th birthday. So I feel today that this is Avian's birthday present. This is Avian's present to the world. This is Avian's present to the children and the families of Ireland. You know, that she stands beside her family today and lights the way for loads of families now. That, well, after I am gone and Mick is gone and all of us are gone, that lighthouse will still be a beaming light in the darkness.
How important was it for you to, I guess, throw yourself into this charity work or give something back or do something in Avian's name when, I guess, you find yourself at rock bottom in the middle of the most horrendous grief that, like, you know, as we say, no one should ever experience it, like no parent should ever lose a child. It goes against all of what's meant to happen. Did putting your energies into Avian's Pink Tie and having that to focus on, did that help you sort of go through the years since?
I suppose it's a really hard question to answer. You know, I don't know if that was the case. I just felt that when I was on St. John's Ward and I was with Avian and I seen all the things that happened, I just couldn't walk away from it. I just could not walk away from it. For me, it would have been like for Avian to lose her life. And then for me to turn me back on the situations that I'd seen, for me would have been an abomination. And I had to, you know, build something in her memory. So it is a hard one. I'd say psychologically, I probably did do it to try and defend myself and defend the pain and
or distract
the suffering
yourself
was,
maybe, or just busy yourself.
I think that was it. You know, it's a real hard one. I've tried to analyse it over the years. Was that what the reason? Mm. You know. And then I had, like I said, I had great support from family and friends. I got let go when Avian passed away. I worked for a company called SR Techniques. I'm an aircraft mechanic, and SR Techniques closed down, so I was basically out of work. It was 2010. It was the absolute height of the, you know, the economic doom. And that's a, you know, that's a funny thing as well, because probably that year, or, you know, that year off work before I got back, I worked for a fantastic company now with Dublin Aerospace. And before I got back to work, that year gave me that kind of time to sort of, you know, me and Mick, the time to start working on the ideas of Avian's Pink Toy. And we started very small. You're talking about, like, Mick was is a builder, and so the, you know, the contract building had gone very bad. And both of us together were trying to rebuild our lives. And we were doing this as well. And I think because it was born in such a bad time, made it much stronger, because it was a real gradual progress.
And it's really lasted the test of time over the 10 years and grown hugely. You get an awful lot of help. You people show you an awful lot of kindness, and you get an awful lot of support. And I suppose having Avian's Lighthouse project is the culmination of a lot of people who have given their time to you and have really given you a helping hand to try and get it going.
This country is absolutely incredible. The absolute amazing kindness, you know. And even, you know, it was so funny there last night, you know, looking at the Late Late Show. There's a great humanity and there's a great spirit in Ireland that's still there, you know what I mean? And I really think that, you know, the way the Late Late Show last night showed that spirit, that humanity, and we're still Irish, you know, there's that, you know, and the lovely multicultural society that we've become was very evident in it last night, you know. So
I totally agree with you. I think we've been listening to an awful lot of bad news recently, and lots of kind of news that you don't like to hear, and sometimes you would wonder about what kind of a country we live in. And I think last night really showed that there's a huge amount of kindness left. And,
there is a huge amount of kindness,
you know. And I think if the future is in the hands of some of those kids we saw last night, we won't do too badly. Jimmy, tell us, how do people get in touch if people are hearing us talk this morning and they're thinking, you know, Avian's Lighthouse project is something either they're interested in or they know a family that might be interested in it? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, I find that the strongest medium we really have is probably Facebook. Mm. And Aveen's Pink Toy on Facebook is a very strong page. There's 46,000 people following it. I've always said I totally believe that it's probably one of the biggest children's cancer Facebook pages in the world. Proportional to the Irish population, you know, 46,000 people is a huge number of people following a Facebook page. And some of the biggest foundations in the United States would have maybe, you know, 200,000 people following them. But if you look at relatively to the amount of people in the country. So Facebook is a real strong one. We have Twitter accounts. You can go into Aveen's Pink Toy website and see all of our information there.
And the first family then, when did they go in?
We're hoping the first family, like we've been asked for it already.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, we've been actually asked for it already. It'll actually work in conjunction with the social workers from the hospital. So they will pick the families and then we will, you know, we'll obviously give them access to the house. So we're thinking December 1, like we're probably going to have our first family in. And then probably, you know, Mick and me and Lynn will probably never get a chance to ever see it again after that, you know. And then we'll take the next project.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, the best of luck with it, Aveen's Lighthouse project. It is in Drimna, isn't it?
It's in Drimna. That's very important.
Very important. In Drimna, in Dublin, and it has been launched later today. You do fantastic work, Jimmy. Thanks so much for coming in.